The rain began with one gentle tap at her bedroom window, then another and another, and then a steady patter at the glass. She opened the curtains and beheld a sky like tarnished silver, with no sign of the sun. She had hoped so hard for a morning such as this that she let out a quiet cry of relief. When the cab came to take her to the airport, water spattered circles across its windscreen. The low-banked clouds smudged Manhattan's towers into the atmosphere, and the cab driver complained about the visibility. She described how dearly she loved these gloomy mornings when the drizzle proved the solid world insubstantial, and he bluntly informed her that she was crazy. She craned her neck to look out of the window, upwards at the befogged promises above her. She did not think she was crazy, but these last few months she had come close. At the start of the summer, she would have described herself as a sociable, successful, and secure 29-year-old. Now, at the worn-out end of August, all she knew was that she was still 29. At the airport, she drifted through check-in. She paced back and forth in the departures lounge. She was the first in the boarding queue. Even when she had strapped herself into her seat, even as she watched the cabin crew's board safety routine, even as the prim lady seated beside her twisted the crackling wrapper of a bright boiled sweet, even with every detail too lucid to be a dream, she still feared that all the promises of the moment might be wrenched from her. Life, Elsa Belletti reckoned, took delight in wrenching things from her. Elsa's looks came from her mother's side of the family. The Bellettis had given her unruly black hair, burned brown eyes, and the sharp eyebrows that inflected her every expression with a severity she didn't often intend. She was slim enough for her own liking most months of the year, but her mother and all of her aunts were round. At family gatherings, they orbited one another like globes in a cosmos. She feared that one morning she would wake up to find genetics had caught up with her, that her body had changed into something nearly spherical, and her voice, which she treasured for its keen whisper like the snick of a knife, had turned into that of a true Belletti matriarch, making every sentence into a drama of decibels. Her surname, which she gained age 16 after her mother had kicked her father out, and her physique were all she had inherited from the Bellettis. She had always considered herself more like her dad, whose own family history existed only in unverified legends passed down to him by his grandparents. One ancestor, they had told him, had been the navigator on a pilgrim tall ship. He had coaxed the winds into the vessel's sails to carry its settlers over unfathomable waters en route to a new nation. Another was said to have been a Navajo medicine man who had survived the forced exodus of his people from their homeland and helped maintain under oppression their belief in the holy wind, which gave them breath and left its spiral imprint on their fingertips and toes.